Good morning. And welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we studied the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And we are excited for another day of grace, another day in which the Lord has given us. And as long as He's tarried and not come back, we have a message to proclaim in the gospel, the grace of God. And we are living in the greatest dispensation there is so far. And we got a message, we got a Bible we can understand, and we got saints we can rejoice with, and know that we're going to spend eternity with each other. And we thank you for those that are watching through our internet. We would like to welcome you to come and visit us. But until then, amen. Amen and amen and amen. We're in lesson 6 of the contrast of God's Word, and as we're going through some things, we've got to understand that when we study the Bible, the Bible's own way, we do have a Bible, and God says that we need to rightly divide it. And many of you know this, and we thank you for listening and tuning in. Some things we just go over, and you look at it like, I know that. I'm thinking, praise God, hallelujah. And there's some things you look at, and you're like, wow, I forgot about that. So one good thing about learning the Word of God, we have His Word. It don't change. We change, but God's Word don't change. At least His inherent preserved Word of God don't change. You can get a Bible out there that has many changes. But we're in lesson 6 of where, as we contrast the prophetic program and the mystery program. One was set for the earth. One was set for the heavenlies. And you don't find that till you understand how to rightly divide the word of truth. Prophecy and mystery. What was the first verse in your Bible says? In the beginning, God what? Created the heaven and earth. Right off the bat, God made a distinction. He made the distinction. And then we look at some things like that. So we're in lesson 6. And we're going to look at, on the prophecy side, redeemed Israel to rule and reign with Christ on the earth. So right now, where is Israel in the world system? They're set aside. They're diminishing. God cast them away. Where are they at in the world, though? With the United Nations, right? You know, they're amongst the Gentiles. And, you know, they became disobedient. And God told them in times past, if you just do this, if you don't go out chasing other people, if you don't do that, then your land's going to be free. You're going to prosper. But they did, and what did God do? He took it away from them. He took it away from them. It's just like chastising a little kid when they do something bad. What do you do? You take something away from them. And God has not gave that back to them yet. And as we're looking at this, but when redeemed Israel, has Israel been redeemed as a nation yet?
No.
They have not. Are they going to be? In ages to come, they're going to be regained. God has not set them aside. Well, God has not forgot about them, I should say. That's why Paul talks about the kingdom's postponed in Romans chapter 9, 10, 11 is dealing with Israel, true Israel. Okay? He's looking at the kingdom saints. God hasn't forgot about you. Because you can only imagine that Paul walks into a place like this and, you know, there's... might be a back in time, you know, back when Paul's days, and he's talking about the glory of God, and he's talking about Jesus Christ dying for your sins and burying and rose again. He's talking about the heavenly position, and there's a little Israelite back there going like this, you know, yeah, what about me? What about me? What about me? Hold on, we'll get there. What about me? What about me? And Paul's going through Romans 5, 6, 7, comes chapter 9, and he goes, talks with the Israelites, and he's explaining to them, God's just set you aside right now. In the world system today, when you think about that, when you look at Israel today, how saved are they? How saved is the nation? If you look at nation Israel right now and where they're at, how saved are they at compared to what Paul says? That, you know, they have a government and society and stuff the same as we do. They promote this. They promote everything that is not right with God. They promote that. You know, but yet the world hates them, hates us. So When God redeems Israel, go to Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62. Oh, they come in. Okay. All right. Isaiah 62. Morning, guys. Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62, when God's going to redeem Israel and they're going to rule and reign with Christ on earth. Isaiah 62, verse 1. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the land of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Verse 4. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hezbollah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delight in thee, and thy land shall be married. We listen to the song Beulah Land coming up the road. You know, many of us know that song and all that stuff. But here, they're going to be a light, and redeem Israel is going to rule with Christ. Right now, they're not a light. Y'all know that. So, go to Ezekiel chapter 37. That's when God's going to restore the land, put them in the land, and if you know your Bible, you know that has not happened yet. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel 37. Starting with verse 21.
What verse?
21. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them United Nations, one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and 12 kings. See this oneness here? They're going to be one. One king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein thou hast sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be what? My people, and I will be their what? God. Verse 24. And David, my servant, shall be the king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also work in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children, for how long? Forever. And my servant David shall be a prince over them. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that the Lord do sanctify Israel when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forever. That's ages to come. When God's going to redeem Israel, what's he going to do? Everybody's going to go there. There's going to be no more nations between northern tribes and southern tribes. I like that verse about David shall be my servant, king over them. David will sit on that throne forever. And there's verses and verses and verses that say that. Lord Jesus Christ only sits on a millennial throne for how long? Okay, 1,000 years. That's it. Then he gets up. Who's going to sit on that throne when he gets up? David is. That's very, very interesting. Go to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus. Now, who's Israel supposed to be? Verse 4, chapter 19, verse 4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bared you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if ye obey my voice indeed and keep my commandments, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Well, who is Israel supposed to be? Okay. That's way back over here. So as they did what Moses is supposed to be baptized, be sanctified and all that stuff, they're supposed to be a kingdom of priests. Priest. Go to Revelation chapter 5. A lot of people out there wants to make you, let me put it this way. A lot of people out there don't understand what we just read. And they do things what Israel's doing, and they don't realize they just become in the priesthood. So when you do the things pertaining to Israel, how many priests we got in here today? Think about it. You know, if you do what Israel's supposed to be doing right there, there's a lot of churches out there, they're full of priests. But they're not Israelites, are they? They're not doing what God's supposed to be doing. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Verse 8 says, and when he had taken the book, and the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odor, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou hast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Verse 10. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign where? So when redeemed Israel gets redeemed, they're going to reign on where? The earth. And one other verse I want to share with you, Isaiah 45. How long is that going to last? Isaiah chapter 45. Verse 17 says, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded world without end. That world that God's going to work through Israel is going to be without end. And that's a glorious day. That's a glorious time. And before you understood right division, you was part of that thinking, I'm going to be here on this earth without end. That sounds like a good day. You go out there today, how beautiful this earth is, and I'm traveling up and down looking at the green grass and mountains and stuff. You're like, man, I don't want to leave this world. This is beautiful. And you're like, you got to admit to it. It is beautiful. Whether you live in a city or live in a country, it's just really nice what man has done to this earth. But you got to. That's even better now since you are like, wait a minute, God's going to put a new heaven, a new earth. How much better does it seem like right now outside of work, you know, and the diseases and stuff like that? And you look out there and like, man, this place is so beautiful. Y'all know me. I travel a lot on these highways and byways, and I'm sitting above the normal person because I'm up in a tractor, and I'm looking out. And you go across the mountaintops, and you're like, this is beautiful. But you're going to know something. It's going to be more Amen. Precious. So that's redeemed Israel. Now let's look at the body of Christ. Body of Christ is rule and reign with Christ in the heavenly places. Now this may not be new to some of you. It's just a refresher course on some things because I'm looking out amongst you guys, and I know many of you, and I know where you come from, and you understand right division ever since you was small. Some of us not so small, but Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, in the mystery program, this something was spoken since the world began. That's prophecy, right? And something kept secret since the world began. That's what we call what? Mystery. And when you share that with some people, they look at you funny. Like, what are you talking about, a mystery? Yeah. Not mystical. It's a mystery, something kept secret, something hidden. And there's people out there says it was hidden God, but they didn't know it. Through his word, and they're like, wait a minute. I'm like, no. Who's the wisest person outside of Daniel, outside of Solomon? Lucifer knows this book inside and out. And if God had hid it in his word, Lucifer would have found out this stuff, and he would have never crucified Lord Glory. For the reason being, what this mystery program is pertaining to the heavenlies and what it's all coming together. Where did I say to go? Ephesians 2. Howard, at verse 1 also says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. There's that will of God again. Ephesians 2, verse 14. I can't go to 14 without going to 11. I'm sorry. Seems like it all goes together. Wherefore, remember ye in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands. Once again, God made a distinction between heaven and earth. He's making a distinction between people. God made this distinction. That at that time ye, Gentiles, were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope with God in the world, but now. See, a lot of people say, well, at the cross, but now happened. It didn't happen. You only find this information out when you get to Paul. Things happen at the cross, right? By the cross. But this right here is something new. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, where we're going. For he is our peace, who have made both one, have broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. You know anything about ordinances and laws? They're not good. Hey, that speed limit sign out there, does that show you how good you are? It don't. And I could be willing to say that many of you got a lead foot, and many of you go down there, well, if I just go 5 miles over, and that officer pulls you over. Officer, I thought you allow us to go over. You know what he's going to tell you? He's going to look at you and say, whoever told you that, I don't allow. You just broke the law. That's what I'm saying. That's how easy it is to break the law. You took that 5 mile hour over.
We never try to go 5 miles under.
No, ever.
I never think that.
Unless you're older than I am on a Sunday and you're driving like, get out of my way. But anyway, yeah, you're right. You don't go under. But when you go over and break the law, it's on you.
Guilty.
But we're not under. Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself a 21 new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy, thereby. So he's making one new man, not a new nation. Now, who's ahead of a man? Christ. He's ahead of, we looked at last couple lessons. And I've challenged everybody who's been listening on the internet, and even you guys, show me in the Bible, outside of Paul's epistle, where Jesus Christ is head of the church. So here is he's making a man, one body. It's got to have a head. And you got a head, who's the head?
Jesus.
Who's doing our thinking?
Jesus.
Do we let Jesus do our thinking 24 hours a day? I don't. You know what I mean? We don't. But we got the mind of Christ. We can discern some things. Chapter 3, verse 6.
Ephesians 3?
Yep. Yes, sir. Verse 1 says, for this cause I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard the dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles, and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by what?
The gospel.
See, the NIVs, they add with Israel in that verse. That the Gentile will be with Israel, fellow. And that's not true. You're in fellow heirs and within the same body. Is Israel part of the body?
No.
When think about this for a minute.
Israel's you
and Gentile now. So what I'm talking about then is this kingdom. Let's go just back up for a second. The kingdom saints that was under Peter, James, and John, are they part of the body? Okay. So are we partakers of the same body here?
No.
That's why you can't put Israel in there. Now, Jew and Gentiles today are lost. They can be part of the body. But when it's all said and done, God makes a new heaven, new earth. We'll look at this as we go down through there, not today, but through our lessons, and you understand that God still got an agency for this earth, and it's not the body. Who is it? Who's the vehicle that's going to be on this earth in ages to come?
Israel.
Who's going to be the vehicle ages to come in the heavenlies? And who's going to be in control of it all? And where's Jesus Christ going to sit?
For the first 1,000 years.
In that 1,000 years, where's the body of Christ at? We're already seated up there. So when it's all said and done, Jesus Christ is going to have preeminence. I just vision this, okay? Y'all can correct me if I'm wrong. Joshua, was he he was like Jesus Christ on earth, right? Joshua was. You know, the place where he sat and he dispensed out things, you know where it was at, what it was called? No, it was called a place called Shiloh. He didn't go to Jerusalem. He was in Shiloh, and he dispensed that. So my vision is this. Now, Jesus Christ is going to be a place where he can see earth, and he can see heaven. And he's going to have rule and reign, all that. Now, if he comes to Jerusalem and sits down there for a while, I'm not going to be in heaven thinking, you know, you need to be up here. But I'm thinking he's going to have preeminence over it all. You got to be in a neutral location. You with me? And then that's the way I see it, that. So the body of Christ is in the heavenly places. There's a government up there. We'll get to that later on. And there's a government in on the earth. It's all going to be under his control. And what's the main theme of your Bible? Authority over what? Universe, about a throne. Over the whole entire universe, not just here on earth. You know, we talked about, well, many of us has been in religions many of our life, and we're like, heaven and earth, King and Jerusalem, all that stuff. But this is the big picture. So what does chapter 2, verse 6 say? Ephesians. And hath raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places where? Made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where you're at. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Where's the focus at? Our conversation, verse 20. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So where's our conversation at? Where's our citizenship at? Heavenly places. What do you got here? So if you think about it, many of you know what ambassadors are. And where's the Lord Jesus Christ at right now?
Right hand of God.
Right hand of God. He's in royal exile. And he's called us to be ambassadors. What do you got here? Think about that. You know, we're representing the Lord Jesus Christ in heavenly places today. When you come down here, when we talk to people, that's where our conversation should be. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6 says, know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Where are you going to judge angels at? On this earth? You know, the fallen angels came to this earth and they was judged. Romans chapter 4. You're going to rule and reign with Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. You got the position there. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 says, as is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom ye believe, even God who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. You're going to judge with the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 11. Chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny us. Verse 14, deny himself. So where are you going to be at? If you live with Christ, you're going to be with Christ. You're dead with Christ. That's what Romans talks about. You're dead to sin. You're dead to law. You're dead to the flesh. If you're dead to something, what good is it? What makes you alive? Lord Jesus Christ should be making alive. And it's hard. Listen, this flesh will want things more than what the Spirit wants. You know what I mean? Sometimes this flesh is like, hey, I want to do this, this, this. I think about, many of you know I do CrossFit and stuff, and I think I watch these people, the younger than I am, and they're just, you know, 185 pounds, no problem. I'm like, I can do that. And I'm like, what I did, I just broke my form, and I should stop. So I got to figure out what this flesh wants. You know, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak sometimes. And you're like, you just got to relax and do what you can do. But the thing is, when I'm dead to Christ, I'm alive. I'm alive in Christ, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. Thank you. So I'm alive in Christ. That makes me a whole new creature. I'm not saying I can pick it up with one hand, but there's some things that you can do that you can say, I can do this, that type of thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Well, I think we touched on this briefly. The whole chapter is good, but verse 14 says, for the love of Christ constrain us, because we thus judge that if one die for all, then we are all dead. And that he died for all, and that they which live shall not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which die for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, we know him, no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Let me ask you something. What year is this? When did you know Christ that died almost 1900 and almost 2,000 years ago? When did you know Christ after the flesh? Does it say that though we have known Christ after the flesh? Where did you know Christ after the flesh? That's the only place you're going to know Jesus Christ after flesh. In his earthly ministry of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But what did it say after that? Yet know him henceforth know we him no more. How do you know Jesus Christ today? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. He's made a new creature with the body of Christ, something brand spanking new, never been thought about before. You're a brand new plant. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us a ministry of reconciliation. Why? Why do we have a ministry of reconciliation? To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are all ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. That's life. That's how we're going to rule and reign. And you want your neighbors, you want your loved ones, you want your brothers, sisters, uncles, and aunts. You want all them reconciled to God, right? He's not imputing trespasses and sins. But does that mean everybody's saved?
No.
It don't mean that. What does Romans 3 say again, right quick? Romans 3. Right before that. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all. Now the faith of Jesus Christ died for how many?
All.
And upon all them that believe. So you have to believe it before it is applied to you. Okay? Got it? But he died for all. Ephesians chapter 3. We're getting very close. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3. Verse 16, there's three prayer requests in here Paul talks about, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask and or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages. What's those next three words? World without end. This mystery program, we're going to rule and reign with Lord Jesus Christ, has a world without end. Same as the prophetic program on the earth, prophecy program on the earth, the mystery program in the heavenly places is world without end. That's why Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10 talks about in the fullness, dispensation of the fullness of times. Okay? Father, thank you for today. Thank you for things given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Any thoughts or comments?
Why, in a way, does God separate us, in a sense, through the law? And Israel is his chosen people, and we were nothing compared to the Jews. But then he made one new creature, Jesus Christ, and then we are separated again, then, earth and heaven.
My first thought is about this. What does the mystery program reveal? What is the purpose of the mystery program? The heavenly position. All before, I shared this way. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. He made a distinction. From Genesis 1:2, all the way over to Acts chapter 9, where's the focus at?
Earth.
So he has to take one person. He had Adam. How did Adam work out? Not too good. He had Noah. How did Noah work out? Not too good. He had Moses. How did Moses work? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You go all the, how did they work out? What are they supposed to do? Genesis chapter 11, Romans chapter 1, God gave the Gentiles, gave them up, gave them over, right? So then he chose Abraham out. And now that one person right there, he says, your seed is going to be as stars as heaven. And he's the father of faith, by the way. He's the father of Islam.
He's the father of all.
Who's Ishmael? Who's Isaac? Who was their daddy? Okay. Ishmael had kids. He had 12 people. But God's promise was to who?
Isaac.
Isaac has two kids. Who are they? What happened there? Jacob and... Esau sells his birthright to his brother. And then he gets mad about it when his daddy gives him the promise. So, focus is on Israel, right? And when they're separated, where's the rest of us at? God gave us up. But was there a chance that you become the light? That's what we're looking at. Israel will be redeemed. What's left down here, when it's all said and done, Israel's redeemed. There's still going to be Gentiles in the world, nations. But where's the body of Christ at? Over here. But all that focus from Genesis 1-2 all the way to Acts chapter 9 is the earth. That's why I love that if you have your Bible, you took the book of Acts, and you took Romans through Philemon, and you do this, and it looks like that. That's the heart of God's what God's doing today. Everything on this side is time past. Everything's in the middle but now. This those ages to come. And this is what God is doing. You want to know what God's will is? His heartbeat is right there in Romans through Philemon today. So he had to separate them. He set them aside. He's not dealing with the nation. So this new creature, this new identity comes online. Why? Amen. Amen. Not the kingdom ones.
No, I'm just saying.
That's why Paul goes, yes, the Jew and Gentile. What does he say? There's no distinction between who?
Jew and Gentile.
Today. So when we look at the Israelites in the world today, they need to hear this gospel the same as the lost man in Massillon, Ohio. I'm sorry. They do. But we've been trained like God. That's God's chosen people. God don't have a chosen people today. So what that body does, he formed a new body, and one new man, we read, not a nation. And that man, that body, takes care of the heavenly places because who's the prince of power of the air right now? So what does that mean? That blue sky, that's the first heaven. The stars is the second heaven. Who's in control of that? He's got a dominion there, not the third heaven. And then, who's the God of this world? So he's controlling all that stuff. And he's controlling that so when God came to this earth in the form of his son, Jesus Christ, and Satan offered him the kingdoms up on the pinnacle, that Jesus Christ said, no, that's mine. Who are you to tell me I can't have this? He didn't dispute Lucifer, Satan. That's a dispensational point of view if you think about it. Because if, and I know it's a big word like hands on a door, if he gave him kingdoms of the world to Jesus Christ, what happened to first and second heaven? Where's that coming to view? He's still over Jesus. You with me? He's still where I want to be like. But when this mystery program came in, and what it's revealed to the Apostle Paul, that throwed a monkey wrench in Satan's plan. That's why he says, if the princes of this world had known, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory, because what it's doing, Satan hates this message. If he can't attack the messengers, you know who he'll attack. He'll attack you. He'll make you feel in your mind like, who are you to go out here and share anything about Jesus Christ? And you're like, I'm a new creature here, you know. I may not feel like it all the time. But the thing is, what God is doing today through Apostle Paul is something brand new for the heavenly purposes. Then he goes back to the earth. And when it's all said and done, It's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, and it's all, we're not going to have to worry about this no more.
Now, is there going to be, I'm asking a stupid question probably, just like under the gospel of grace, it is all can come to Christ and accept him as their Savior. All right, when we're taken out, are those Jews that have accepted Christ under the gospel of grace, are they going to go? There'll be some Jews up there with the Gentiles, and then the rest of them will be down here on this earth that are the same after we're taken out.
Who's the body made up of today? Okay, we're brothers and sisters. We're gone. There's no distinction. So
are they going to stay up there since you're putting?
Well,
that apparently hasn't accepted the same message that we did under the gospel of grace, which got us into heaven, because they're
not going to stay or stick around.
They're going to go in the program that they were saved in. It's their destination.
Same as the people that was saved here in this program, they're not coming over here and going up.
Well, that's another question. No, I really
okay, but hang on.
That little flock, that's,
they're over here.
No.
That kingdom program, once Paul was saved and started preaching to Gentiles, when he went to Galatia and they shook hands, they said, "You go to the heathen and we go to circumcision." At that point, they didn't continue to advance that program.
Yeah, but wasn't there some believers right there in that little flock that
helped Paul?
Yes.
Yeah, but they're not in a.
They
didn't jump ship, so to speak. They're still in that kingdom program. But when we're taken out of here, Jew and Gentile, because there's one body, God sends 144,000, 12,000. They preach a gospel there to the Jews. They preach a gospel against that Antichrist. So they're listening, and they're going to be Bible believers, no doubt about it. They always was. They're going to open that book, hear what those Hebrews say, believe it, and go to the wilderness. Okay? Then there are going to be Gentiles and Jews that don't believe it that's going to follow this Antichrist. But when God does this body, we're a body, and we're seated in heavenly places.
Well, I'm not doubting that.
It's almost like Ancestry.com. How many does that? Okay, and you start looking through your ancestry, and you're like, I'm Scottish, I'm Irish, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this and that. I can get caught up in that, thinking, look at me. I've got all this stuff in me over here. I'm not part of this no more, but I am a part of it. I'm a part of this body, Jew and Gentile. That's why I don't know how you say it. You know.
Is there just three classes, Jew, Gentile, and the body of Christ? Is that all there is?
No. In Romans 1, talks about the heathen, the Gentiles. Yeah. God gave us up. Romans 2 is the religious guy. Romans 3 is the Jew. And when you get through Romans 3, that's when he says there's no distinction. You know, it doesn't matter.
To start with, was everybody Gentiles?
Abraham was the first Hebrew. Yeah. Abraham was the first Hebrew. We get ready to turn it off. Abraham was the first Hebrew. But God chose him out of all the people to work on this earth, to work through. But this program was not made known. And a lot of people will say that Hebrews or this kingdom saints goes into the, because there's a, what was it, a distinction between people says, well, the 12 are in the body. And the 12 was in the body or out of body.